Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
I'm Andy Belanger.
And I'm Becky Clunan. Welcome to Metal Geeks Podcast.
Rock out with your geek out. Did I say that right?
I'm keeping on your toes. I'm not going to say balls every time.
Well, when you were here, when you weren't here last time, guess who did say balls?
Who said balls?
The wifey said balls.
Nice.
So she had to keep up the tradition.
There you go.
I think that's good. Don't let them goad you into doing something like a parrot.
Right.
Good for you.
Say balls, right. George. Say balls.
No, don't do it.
Do
don't
it.
Do it.
Do it.
Don't do it.
Penis.
There you go.
That's not balls at all. So, welcome to the show. Welcome to episode number 107 of the Metal Geeks Podcast.
Ooh, it's a long time seeing you guys.
It has been a while. The last episode we actually got together to do was live at Comic Palooza.
And that was like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it was, actually.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
That was a fun show.
That was a blast.
I had fun doing the live show. It was a lot fun this year than last year. A lot more fun.
A lot more fun?
Yeah.
A lot fun.
Me speak English.
Thank you. Well, I am one of your co-hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
George motherfucking Tripsis.
Hey, you're not going in order.
Not going in order.
Oh, sorry.
He wanted to see what number two position felt like.
Yeah.
How did it feel? How did number two feel?
Amazing.
Well, you've been...
I felt the every two I imagine it to be.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
With the nice curves and everything.
Number one, I command you to take a number two.
Yes. Finally. I've been holding it in this long.
And along with...
And
come on.
This is Dave.
No, wait.
Brutal.
Brutal Dave.
Brutal.
And we also have a very special co-host that's been on the show before. What did you call yourself earlier?
I call myself Sean the Metal Pigeon.
No, but it's something
else.
You
came up with a much better nickname.
In a flight of fancy, I refer to myself as Seanzy Boo Boo.
Seanzy Boo Boo.
Seanzy Boo Boo in the house. Dude, that should be your DJ name. DJ Seanzy Boo Boo.
Ladies, come to the stage. Gentlemen, get your dollars out. It's Seanzy Boo Boo on DJ. What would your ultimate metal song to play at a strip club be?
Well, metal or rock?
Well, Panama. Either one.
Because I think it'd have to be girls, girls, girls. That's appropriate,
girls,
right?
Yeah,
that's a little bit too on the nose. Or
Pandemonic Hyperblast.
Yeah?
What the fuck is that?
They can shake their ass quick, man. Twerk it. Twerk it to some raw fucking black metal.
You could just do whiplash the whole time.
It's like a neck-snapping strip club.
Yeah, you go.
Wow. What about you? I know you've tied this conversation. You've grew up in a strip club.
Yeah, I grew up in a strip club, so it's nothing new.
So what was that?
There was
song?
No male strippers. There was only female strippers.
Right, right. No, I didn't say what song would he strip to.
Oh, I thought you were asking what song he would strip to.
I said what song would he play while strippers
were
stripping.
Man, I totally misunderstood that question. I thought you were telling him he should start stripping.
You were just hoping to see him naked.
Hey, you read my mind.
Seanzy Boo Boo over here.
Seanzy Boo Boo, coming to the stage. what song I would like to see a girl strip to?
Mbop.
Mbop. Yeah, that's not it at
that's
all.
Not it?
No, because you made me listen to Mbop earlier.
I didn't make you. It was on TV.
You played it on your television.
I
super
did not
loud.
Play it. The
you're like,
TV
George,
station
you're
played
fucking
it.
Listen to this. And I listened.
You said my girlfriend likes it.
I did. My girlfriend does like Hanson, unfortunately. And I ripped
her. She gets forgiven.
Because she's so cool, she gets to be forgiven.
Because I know she listens to the show, so we're not going to talk shit about her.
No, I would never talk shit about her, even if she didn't listen to the
did
episode.
Did they ever consider changing their name, even temporarily, to Manson? You know, Manson?
They should have done a metal album and called it Manson.
Or Marilyn Hanson?
Marilyn Hanson.
Well, they're just referencing their man <It's> just- status.
Covering Marilyn Manson songs.
That should
Manson
have been the title
and,
of the album.
It's covering Marilyn Manson.
Manson.
Covering Marilyn Manson songs in the style of Hanson.
Oh, wow. That would be an interesting album.
Yeah.
What year of Manson are we talking here?
Like Same era, like 95, 2000.
So are you talking about the same era that Hanson was a thing?
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, Antichrist Superstar era Marilyn Manson. So
yeah,
you know, classic stuff there.
That'd be fun.
So.
Beautiful People done like in Umbop.
I can't even fathom what that would sound like. With
somebody out there needs
guitars.
To do that quickly, please.
So anyway, back to the stripper question. I don't know, probably like some Nine Inch Nails, like Closer or something like that. Something very obvious.
That's on the nose too.
Well, it's not played very much in strip clubs. At least it wasn't
really?
When I grew up.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dave? Do you have a stripper song?
That was my serious answer.
He could not look more
Closer?
Disinterested in this.
I'm totally not interested
Closer?
In this question. I'm not
He just doesn't want to get in trouble.
Pandemonic Hyperblast.
Okay.
All right.
You just want just ass to jiggle the whole time is what he wants.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm completely uninterested in this question. My answer, that's like my go-to answer for all kinds of ridiculous questions, because that song is ridiculous. It's amazing. It's a great song.
How about You Suffer from Napalm Death?
That needs to be the title of the episode. You understand that, right?
What's that?
It's the title of that song, Meet Stripper. Yeah.
Hyperblast. Okay.
Hyperblasting Stripper Geekery.
Yep. Here you go.
We got it. In the first few minutes of the show. So what have you guys been up to? I know I have had a lot of stuff in my plate recently, but let's talk with our guest first. What have you been up to, Sean? What's been on your radar? What have you been watching, listening to, all that good stuff?
Listening to, I've sort of, I always listen to new music, but lately I've made a decision to, not a decision, I just found myself listening to older stuff again. Like last night, for example, I was playing like, I know this sounds obvious, but I was playing like classic Iced Earth albums I missed hearing and In Flames stuff. And I'm just like, you know what? I find this is going to influence my writing for the next few months because I'm just kind of getting tired of listening to new stuff. I just want to listen to old stuff and have fun with metal. And
What are you writing? I'm just curious.
The
Metal Pigeon blog. Nice. Yeah,
Wait a minute, what is it? The Metal Pigeon blog.
Where's that located at?
www.metalpigeon.com. TheMetalPigeon.com.
Oh, so you even got yours messed up.
Yeah, I sometimes I find myself on this review treadmill, and I'm just like, oh, I hate writing reviews sometimes, and I need to take a break from it. So
you know what? I'm right there with you, man. I do not enjoy writing reviews anymore. I used to love it when I was doing the fanzine, but I find it a chore now.
I like it, but the problem is if you do it too much repetitively.
Yeah.
Then you start to wonder what
but
your purpose
if I was
is.
Getting paid as a gig to do it, I would probably have a different opinion.
Yeah.
Because you're making money.
Yeah, right.
You're getting paid per dollar or per word.
I've been doing the iPod shuffle myself lately. Like
I do that a lot.
I just seeing what comes up.
Throw a bunch of bands in the blender and just let it play.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Sure. TV shows, though. Game of Thrones.
Hell yeah.
Spectacular season.
So I just started watching Game of Thrones.
Did you see that coming? Did you know about the theory beforehand?
I had to...
Hold on. We have a newbie over here, so we can't spoil too much.
No. It's not ruining anything.
Okay.
It's just a fan theory.
I know what he's talking about. I'm pretty sure I know
and
what he's talking
about. And it's been spoiled
about.
By the internet by now.
What are you talking about?
Oh, what season are you on?
I just started. Like,
on
I'm like four
one?
Episodes
in. In the season one?
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't read the books or anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
My wife has read all of
the
books.
I'm keeping it fairly somewhat non-spoiler.
Let me ask Dave a question now. So when I first watched the first season with my wife, I found it very difficult to get into the first couple episodes because there was so many characters thrown at you, so many plot lines, until I watched it a second time with her. And
so
I sort of
this is actually
out.
My second attempt. Like, okay. I made it maybe two-thirds of the way through the first season before. So we've started over. Val has read all of the books and she knows all the stuff, so I can stop and be like, "What? Or who are they talking about?" Okay. And she can
answer.
That's
what I had to do with my wife.
Eventually,
do you find yourself getting into it more now that you can figure out what's going on?
Well, we're still too early in for me to decide.
Season one moves a little slow. But once they kick into season two, it starts. They start shedding layers.
Season one's like the perfect setup for the whole show, though.
No, it is. It is. Yeah. But yeah, as far as that theory that you're talking about, yeah, I did sort of see that coming.
What theory are you talking about?
I can't say.
We can't.
It would be
a big spoiler for him.
All right,
I'm pretty sure.
I'm trying to think of the acronym that they came up with is R plus S equals J.
I'm still lost.
R plus L equals J.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, R plus L.
So, what did you think of those last season? We're not going to spoil it.
Oh, it was amazing. It was yeah, it was great.
It was.
I think
maybe some of the most brilliant television I've ever seen in my
life. Yeah,
this is definitely the best season they've had.
The second
ever.
To last episode had the best fight scene out of any TV or movie.
The war episode.
Yeah, the battle.
Yeah,
the
big. And now winter has come.
Private Ryan.
They've been talking about winter coming. Now winter is finally here.
They have to change all that old.
It's actually part of
now.
The reason why it got pushed back, delayed for the seventh season.
Because winter.
Well, because where they're shooting, there's no winter there, yeah. So they got to wait till winter comes around for them to shoot.
Well, they can digitally add winter in.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it would look that great if they did that.
Maybe they'll get lucky with an overcast sky and it'll just be like humid and stuff.
Everyone's sweating with those giant loincloth things that they're wearing.
So what have you been into recently?
Into?
What have you been watching or listening to?
Let's see. I listened to that album y'all told me to listen to.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
George Hates Metal is coming up.
I can look at my thing, the last thing I listened to. Oh, I finally took Dave's opinion and listened to Omnium Gatherum. Am I saying that name right?
Yeah.
Actually, pretty good.
Yeah.
So, we were at your house on, Saturday, right? For your birthday party.
Yes.
And you had it on random on your iPod or whatever you had it on,
mm-hmm.
And Omnium Gatherum came up. No,
yeah.
It's Omnium came up.
Yeah, right.
And I started beaming with pride. I was so happy.
It was your suggestion that got me to Insomnium.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Dave posted something a while back about Omnium Gathering. I was like, I'll put it on my thing to listen to. And finally, I'm like, I'll listen to the album on my way to work. Man, it's pretty good.
Grey Heavens is an amazing album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of songs that are a little boring, but for the most part, it's overall a really good album.
The first three songs on that album are really, really strong.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Movies. What movie did I see?
I saw Finding Dory.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw Finding Dory.
What did y'all think of it?
It was okay.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Meh.
It was fun, but
it doesn't even hold a candle to the Finding Nemo. It felt like to me that the only character they really enjoyed writing or doing anything with is the octopus.
They certainly favored that character a lot, but I did feel like, because for the longest time, other than Toy Story, Pixar didn't do sequels.
Right.
I just don't feel like this one garnered one either.
That's how I felt when they announced it, but I felt they did enough with the story and with the characters that it was enjoyable. It wasn't as good as the first.
It's better than Cars 2.
It was better than Cars 2 by a lot. And that's kind of...
It's nowhere near as bad as Cars 2.
That's the measure by which I go for Pixar sequels is, well, was it as bad as Cars 2? Because that was a movie that did not need to be made.
No.
That was a story that didn't need telling at all.
With the exception of Inside Out, Pixar has just been on a really downtrend of movies for me.
Some of it. What was the Good Dinosaur?
The Good Dinosaur wasn't all that great.
See, I didn't even see that one. And that's odd because I think because that one came out at an odd time because they almost all like
it
Pixar
came out Thanksgiving if I remember correctly.
Well, and Pixar almost always puts out movies the week before my birthday, and so I always catch those.
Yeah,
and because The Good Dinosaur came out at an odd time in the year, I didn't catch that one, so I haven't seen it yet. But I usually don't miss them. I usually those are pretty high priority for me.
I saw Legend of Tarzan.
Did you know?
I did.
How was it?
Was it
Abtastic?
They should have called him Alexander Absgard. Is what they should.
I think that's what my wife calls him, actually.
It wasn't bad at all. It's very entertaining. There's not a slow moment in the movie.
Really? I heard it's not doing very well, though, is it?
It's doing better than BFG.
And
that's disappointing to me. I was really looking forward to that.
To BFG or
Tarzan? Yeah, to the BFG. Yeah. No, to Tarzan. I don't. The only reason I care at all about Tarzan is Christoph Waltz,
mm-hmm.
And he's great.
How was
so.
He? That
he was pretty cool.
He's the villain again.
Yeah,
he's a badass villain.
The only thing there's a couple of things I didn't like about the movie. It felt like they made Tarzan a little too superhuman. Like there's a scene where he meets like a whole bunch of like soldiers in a train, and he like shakes his head no, like that Captain America scene in the elevator. and everyone sits back down. And then they all get angry because he does something or says something, and then they all start charging him, and he kicks a dude out the train, and he, like, breaks through the wall of the train.
Jeez.
The train's made out of wood.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, but, I mean, still.
Still, though.
That feels a little superhuman.
Right.
But other than that, the movie's pretty good. It's good pace. There was this old 80s movie called with Christopher Lambert. It was The Legend of Tarzan. I can't remember.
Highlander?
No, well, it had the dude who played Highlander.
I thought it was Lambert.
Christopher Lambert?
I don't know.
Lambert.
Raiden.
Yeah, Raiden.
Yes, Raiden.
They had Raiden in the movie. No, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was nowhere as bad as I thought it was going to be. David Yates, who did Harry Potter, directed this one, so it had it had the spectacle of those movies.
I do want to see it. It looked fun.
It felt like a good Hollywood summer blockbuster movie.
Yates did good Harry Potters too.
Mm-hmm. He did the ones toward the end, like the
six
last
in the two sevens.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The last two or the last few.
Yeah.
Last three, right?
Have you seen anything recently?
Other than Finding Dory, no.
Other than Finding Dory.
I am disappointed to hear that BFG's not doing well.
Me too.
I was looking forward to that one.
Spielberg and Disney together?
Yeah. Well, and that's a story that I haven't read in a long, long time, yeah. But I remember reading it as a kid and enjoying it a great deal.
I love all stuff.
It seems like they misjudged the timing of the
I was going to say, I think the reason the movie flopped is because of the timing. And there wasn't a really big name star attached to it.
Yeah, there's no huge
name
attached to it.
They should have waited till the fall and built more of like a low-key burn buzz on it.
Also, I just don't think... it doesn't resonate with audiences anymore. I don't think kids resonate with that kind of characters anymore, about the orphan girl who needs a friend and a big giant who's scary befriends her.
Yeah.
And also running around and calling a giant BFG everywhere is kind of weird.
It's definitely a little old-fashioned in this.
Yeah.
Big fucking gun.
Pretty much. Big fucking
flap. I did see...
what they should've called it.
Well, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but... I did go to the Riff Trax MST3K reunion.
I saw that photo. How was that?
It was everything it should have been.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
What does that mean, like reunion? Like they're becoming Mystery Science Theater 3000?
No. You know who is in Riff Trax, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's all the guys from...
It's not all of them. It's the later guys from MST3K. So Mike Nelson... and the two robots, who were the voices of the robots later. And they were also, everybody also played villains and stuff on the show. So they were Brain Guy and Bobo and all that. So they are the ones that went off and started Riff Trax. Joel Hodgson, who started the show, went off and did a different thing called Cinematic Titanic, which I haven't seen any of. But I go to the Riff Trax things as often as I can. It's basically good old MST3K stuff. They take horrible movies and riff them live. And they're at a theater somewhere in front of a crowd. And
I assume they do the Karate Kid.
Well, yeah. Well, and they that's part of the thing that Riff Trax lets them do is they do it in kind of like a podcast format.
Mm-hmm.
So you provide your own copy of the movie. That way they can get away with doing large budget films, which they were never able to do before because they couldn't get the rights to them.
Yeah.
So that's how they get
you
around
play
it
at the same time.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah. So you hit play when they tell you to, and it syncs up.
Yeah.
But they also do these live events where they're broadcasting from a theater in front of an audience, and then it simulcasts around the country and you can go to your local movie theater and watch along. So what this was a true reunion show. Everybody that had been a cast member on MST3K, because there was the early era when it was Joel was the host, and they had a whole different cast of villains, and they were also the puppet voices and all this kind of stuff. And so everybody was there, including the guy who is going to be the host, the new host,
Jonah Ray.
He was there. Very funny. He did a good job.
He has a travel show
in
somewhere.
America, and it's awesome.
Where do you watch that?
It's on CISO TV.
What is that? I thought it was on Nat Geo.
No, CISO TV. It's $3.99 a month. They get the first month free.
Oh.
So if you just want to subscribe just to check out that show, it's totally worth it.
Or bootleg it.
Super hilarious. It's like a parody of Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations.
Okay.
I saw a picture.
It's amazing.
A picture of him with like Weird Al. So
yeah, it's excellent.
The way they did it, though, was they would your normal cast members came out, and it was all shorts. They didn't do a feature length thing this time. It was all shorts, which are awesome. And so they did one, and then they went off stage and pulled some other people on, and they did one, and they kind of cycled through that way. And then when at the end, they did two shorts at the end where they brought everybody out.
So this was a simulcast thing that you watched?
Yeah. Okay. So
where are they?
Like a Fathom event, right?
Yeah, it was a Fathom event.
Where was it originally done?
They do them in
California,
Minnesota.
Where everything else is done. I'm just kidding.
No, they do them because that's where the show started. That's okay. That's where Joel Hodgson is from. That's where Mike Nelson is from. And so they do.
Minnesota.
They don't always do them there, but most of them I've seen have been.
So you guys just were in a theater watching.
Yeah, we're in a movie theater watching the what's going on in another movie theater.
Okay.
In Minnesota.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone can be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I started watching Documentary Now on Netflix.
Oh, that's
I need
a
to
great
start
series.
Watching that.
Holy crap, it's so funny.
Yeah, at least the first two episodes are really funny.
I got to episode 5 today during lunch. Hilarious. I interviewed.
Is that the one where they do the Eagles parody?
No, I haven't got that far.
The band Eagles?
Yeah. There's only 5 episodes, right?
There's like 7.
7, okay. Yeah, they do a Eagles parody.
That's funny. My favorite one, I think, is the old lady and the daughter living in the house.
Yeah, that's the first episode.
And then the Canuck one, the Eskimo.
Oh yeah, yeah, the documentary, the very first documentary or whatever.
See, I interviewed Alex Buono last year when I was at a work event. Who's the SNL does all the live action stuff, but he's the one who did all the video for this show. It's great. It's so funny. It's written by Seth Meyers. And Fred Armisen and Bill Hader. And then Bill Hader and Fred Armisen are the two main
Seth
people.
Meyers is part of the show?
Yeah, he writes all the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how come Seth Meyers is not funny on his late night show then?
I would disagree on that.
I know he's not funny.
Well, I know you're wrong.
I'm never wrong.
You've been wrong a lot today.
I'm never wrong, dude. Just
you're
like
wrong
that
now.
Perfect Circle band you were playing earlier.
Porcupine Tree, thank you very much.
Sound kind of like Perfect Circle.
No.
They do.
Perfect Circle Wishes.
No, they sound very similar.
It's contentious.
Do you agree on this?
I can see some musical similarities.
And the vocals.
I can see where he's coming from on that.
Boom!
So
don't
I got two
don't
people.
Give him ammo. Come on.
Two people on my
I'm
side.
Not giving him ammo. I'm conceding that to the uninitiated, I can see
the way. You're uninitiated. Hey, don't get mad because I have better trained ears than you guys, is what it is.
I did see a movie recently. Do y'all want to know what it is?
I would hope so.
Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, yeah? How bad was that?
Wasn't bad.
It looked bad.
It is
I
what
heard
it is.
It was awful.
Yeah,
it's not awful.
I heard
okay.
nothing but awful things.
If you go into it expecting, okay, here's the three things you want out of the movie, right? You want aliens attacking the Earth, right?
Man.
You want smaller aliens inside big alien sort of mech
bodies. Yeah.
Bodies.
Okay.
And you want Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum?
No, not really. I want Will Smith in it.
Will Smith is dead in the movie.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't really fucking care.
But his son's in it.
I don't care.
The little boy from the first movie?
It's not the real kid.
Well, I'm sure it's not. No.
Will Smith didn't die in the first Independence Day, did he?
No, he died. He died off screen in the middle of this movie,
Blame.
Or in the beginning of this movie.
No, before the movie.
Oh, in their digital press release that they put out.
Oh,
the news documentary that they put out. Yeah, I have no care to see that movie. I'll wait for it on Netflix or something.
It's so fun. I like to take these opportunities to point out that the original movie also wasn't that great.
No.
I watched it on Sunday.
It's pretty fucking entertaining.
It's entertaining.
And on top of that, no other movie did special effects.
No. Don't get me wrong. It's entertaining, and in the theater in 1995, it was amazing.
Too.
It was phenomenal. But if you watch it like at home on a small screen
or
whatever,
watch it on a high def screen. Ugh.
Well,
I bet it looks bad.
You're talking about aging.
TV.
I'm just talking about just as a movie in general. All of the storytelling elements, et cetera, et cetera. It was a great in theater blockbuster experience when it came out.
Yeah.
But it's really not that great of a movie.
It's not.
Now, that's,
are we talking about the ending where he gives the aliens a computer virus?
I have so much to say about that.
I thought it was stupid when I was a kid. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, the computers run on the alien computers Mac run OS. On Unix apparently. So
it's all Matrix language.
It's all ones and zeros.
There actually was a deleted scene that actually explains that, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was they actually thought of that when they were writing that movie. They are able to basically recover enough of one of the alien computers that he is. It's far fetched, but they at least dealt with it.
Should have been in the movie.
It should have been, but they dealt with it from the writing angle. They're like, oh well, they recover a piece of the alien computer, and he's able to reverse engineer it enough that he can write
Jeff Goldblum's
right, so yeah. that he can write malicious code and upload it right. So they dealt with it, but then it got cut from the movie.
That should have been in the movie.
It is all ones and zeros, and yeah.
Did Jeff Goldblum did his kind of noises?
Yeah, he did. He was weird. It was fun. I like Jeff Goldblum. So
when I think of Jeff Goldblum,
I like Jeff Goldblum
too.
Portlandia.
Yeah,
I think of
as the not salesman.
I think of Life Aquatic Steve Azusa Jeff Goldblum when I think of Jeff Goldblum.
Jurassic Park Jeff Goldblum is
yeah that
fly.
Always kind of comes to mind too.
He's great. He's so weird. He's great. Earth girls are easy. That's true.
If you're, you know, if you're a Jeff Goldblum alien.
Ask the aliens for Independence Day. They know.
So do they just nuke the Earth at the end of the movie?
No.
I don't fucking care.
There was a weird tribute to Robert Loggia in it, though, because he's actually deceased now.
Oh yeah, he was in the first movie,
but he was like the big general in the movie, right?
Yeah, I totally forgot.
But he was like, there was this weird thing where they had like this independent. They had like a, it was like the celebration of like their Independence Day, and they had this big event. And I don't know if it was just a digital. I don't understand what was going on. He didn't say anything. He just nodded.
Robert Loggia?
Yeah,
he was in the movie.
Sort of. I don't know if it was probably just
like
a digital
character.
Probably. Yeah. But he had an acting credit in it, though.
Here's a question.
I'm like, what? He's dead.
I also have one more question. Yeah. One second. The scientist with the long hair is in this movie, right? Because he's in the
Brent
trailer.
Spiner, yeah.
Didn't he fucking die in the last movie?
He was in a coma.
Get the fuck out of here.
No,
that,
I'm not going to get the
stupid already.
I am not going to get the fuck out of here. It's my house.
Yeah, because
he was in a coma.
The alien attacked him, right?
Yeah.
Killed him. Snapped his neck.
Yeah.
They checked his pulse and everything in the first movie.
Fair.
Right. Whatever.
They did.
I don't remember
here's
that
question because you've seen it recently.
But
his
data, they just put him in a new body.
Fairly. I mean, within the last couple of years.
I watched it like a few days ago.
Why? Okay, at the end, they're showing all the downed alien craft all around the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They show one like near the pyramids of
Giza. Yeah.
What Air Force shot that down? there's one in the Serengeti, right?
I would say if they're over the Giza plateau.
No, there's a scene where there's bushmen with sticks like hailing
like,
the fallen ship. And you're like, what motherfucking Air Force flew over there and downed this?
See, what you didn't see is that they did an Angry Birds maneuver and they put a canyon or a
right.
I can't
pronounce catapult?
It. Yeah, they did a catapult thing.
A giant trebuchet.
Yeah, a dude holding like a nuke in his hands or something. And he's like, woohoo!
Giza, I understand.
Giza makes sense.
It's in Israel.
It's like the
ETFs. Well, and even you have Saudi Arabia and Iraq are within close enough proximity.
They have combined air forces that could take it out.
Yeah.
Who? Who in Africa? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but the African Union has like 43 aircraft.
One of those 43 aircrafts did that.
This is a minor. No one. I don't really talk about this. But
no one's talking about this. Why will no
one? And also, let's break this down even a little bit further. Like, if you think about it, aliens have super smart technology. Like, oh fuck, one of our ships went down because of this small flaw in our ship design. Wouldn't the rest of them communicate that to each other and close that shit up?
There was a certain amount of hubris in what they were doing. Think about it. They sussed out enough of our capabilities where they were like comfortable planting their big, huge target-sized spaceships above our cities, and they're like, "Don't worry, nothing down there can hurt us."
Well, welcome back to the Independence Day podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
And anyway, that was our rant.
Alternatively, what you're seeing, I'm making this up right now, because I've never thought about this before. The the downed craft was on such a shallow trajectory when it went down that it's flown several thousand miles.
It just fell straight down, is what it did. It just went bloop.
Still in Africa.
Yeah, right into the Africa Serengeti. I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time in theaters.
For the first time ever?
Yeah, well, I was, when it came out, I was too young to see it in theaters. So, yeah, it was fucking awesome. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and I got to see it on the big screen.
I remember there was a theater that opened up, which is gone now, and when they did a grand opening, this was maybe like 15-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They did all three Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, that's cool.
And we sat through all of them. And they gave you intermission. You can go get food or whatever and come back. It was fun.
Yeah.
Was it was a 35mm?
Yeah, it was a 35mm print at Alamo Drafthouse. Okay. It was pretty cool. Because
I've done one of those before. Like, I've seen Raiders in theater before, but I think they were playing like the DVD or whatever.
No, they were
not quite the same.
They ran the film.
It was fun. Had a good time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was cool.
I remember seeing Last Crusade in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that in theaters.
My uncle took me to see the second movie, and I got in trouble. Well, he got in trouble for it.
The Temple of Doom?
Temple of Doom, when I was so young. And I remember freaking out when I got home because of the beating heart part, taking the heart out.
Trying to pull your own heart out or something?
I was freaked out. I was young when that came out. Maybe. So, it was like, what year was that?
Did that come out? Like, 81?
I was like...
Temple of Doom?
Yeah.
No, because...
No.
84.
89 was...
Because Raiders was 89. Like 81 or 82. Raiders was.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Temple of Doom would have been probably 84, 85.
How are we huge?
89, 90, somewhere in there.
I don't keep track of dates, bro.
We should. It was 1984. So I would have been 10.
So Raiders came out in 81 then.
Yeah. Wow.
Word.
I was a pussy-ass 10-year-old then. Freaking out.
I also finally watched season one of True Detective.
Yeah?
Nice.
I tried watching season two, and I could not get into it.
Season two is not so great, but season one, holy fuck. Yes. What a well-written show.
Yes. I am caught up on Silicon Valley this season.
Silicon Valley is great.
Funny as ever.
I just kind of wish they would revert back to like the more raunchy comedy that they had in season one.
One, yeah.
We just got word that my niece passed her college class. She's taking like a dual credit high school college class.
Yeah, all right. Graduation.
I know you're not listening, but...
Next time, when you listen to this in your car or something.
That's right.
With your friends.
In 15 years.
So we can embarrass the fuck out of you.
No, we already embarrassed the fuck out of her.
Nice. I do that with my nephews, too.
It's great. Cool.
That's where, you know, nephews and nieces are for.
I have my own children to embarrass.
So. I have watched that season about four times through now.
Yeah?
It's a show that I'm going to keep coming back to. Yeah, season one.
And he also announced recently that he's totally interested in coming back to play that character. But I think it would only be cool if he comes back with Woody Harrelson.
Are you talking about Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
How is he going to take time off from doing his car commercials?
And now he's teaching a class at UT.
That's right. He is teaching a film class.
Yeah.
Well, and he'll be shooting Dark Tower as well.
I saw a picture from
that. His portion's done already, or it's almost done, because he's gearing up to teach next semester at UT.
Yeah, like dyed his hair black and everything. Yeah. Oh, that looks good.
All right.
Idris Elba's costuming. I hate doing this. I hate like looking at a photograph of a film shoot and then going, oh, I think this is going to happen. But
X-Men Apocalypse.
I just feel like it's a little. It's something,
X-Men Apocalypse.
It seems a little on the nose for the. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, it's very Western, gaudy Western.
Isn't like, that what it's supposed to be, though?
I guess it's supposed to be sort of kitschy. I've never read the books,
so I can't say anything.
I've read five of the books. I haven't read the last two.
How many books are there?
There's seven Dark Tower books. Yeah. I've read the first five.
What's the first one?
The first Dark one Tower. is The Gunslinger.
And Stephen King wrote all those in a week.
No, he did not.
George R. Martin is like, wow, the
he
fuck
actually,
did you do this?
It was in between, I think it was in between either book 4 and 5 or 5 and 6, I don't remember. It was in between one of those when he got hit by the van.
Oh.
And they didn't know if he was going to survive.
Then he wrote
And everyone
Misery.
Was like, holy shit, you have to survive so you can finish the Dark Tower series. And so I think after that point, he did very quickly complete the series.
Smart man.
So he wouldn't die.
So, well, I mean, the Stephen King we're talking about, he has the, you know, those things haunt him constantly of like, I almost died. I wonder how soon until I almost die again.
It's kind
of
crazy to think that's how what mystery is really about him getting hit by a car, or at least based on.
That would suck. That would really take him out, too, just getting hit by something like that. Just getting hit by a van.
Well, that Anton Yelchin.
Oh, Jesus.
That, God rest his soul, so.
Oh, I know, man. That was horrible. We were at Comic Palooza the day we found out.
Yeah, it was the last day of Comic
Palooza. The last day of the show.
It was Sunday morning.
So here's the story. Okay, so what kind of car was it? Do you remember?
It was a Jeep.
Jeep. So
that has a recall
on that same problem right there, where it would go into, would it go into like
basically
a
gear wolf? It wouldn't change. Go in. It would indicate park, but it wouldn't actually be in park. Was what I read.
And he got smushed between his car
mailbox.
And a mailbox. Really?
Yeah.
So like by the time anyone found him, he was dead. Like he just was stuck, and he was pinned between those two.
Jeez, it's horrible.
And on top of that, he lived on an incline.
Right.
So the car just rolled down the incline.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It is a freak accident, like Final Destination.
It was like one of those, like the way that I read it, it was one of those, like, you know, he got home and was going to check the mail at the end of the driveway, so he left the car running kind of thing. Like, I'm just going to hop out real fast and grab the mail and get back in. And while he was out, it rolled back into him and pinned him.
Oh, jeez. Fuck. Where's
such a talented young guy too?
Oh man, like, I don't love all the movies he's in, but I love his performance in every movie.
The first thing I remember seeing him in was Terminator Salvation, which was not a great movie, but I was like, this kid's good.
Yeah.
I'm like, this kid's going places.
The first movie I saw him in was a movie called Alpha Dog with Justin Timberlake and
I don't think I ever saw that. I remember seeing
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I never watched that one myself.
But anyway, he plays. It's a true story about these kids who are part of a drug smuggling ring, and this little kid finds out. And the whole movie is about how these kids are pretending to be his friends so they can kill him at the end of the day. Oh. And Anton Yelchin is a kid who dies at the end. Spoiler alert! If you ever plan to watch it, it's not a great movie.
True life.
But fuck, I mean, his performance made me like gut wrench at the end of the movie.
I was sad because we were at Comic Palooza when we found out, and Chekhov was actually there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man, that's right.
I would hate to be
there. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that, but I remember thinking about that at Comic Palooza. Yep. I was like, oh, he's here.
Yeah, he's actually here, probably not far from where you're at.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Wow, I didn't even put that together that Chekhov was there.
Dude, yeah.
To be honest, I kind of forgot he was there.
But,
I didn't go see him, so I'm not a big Star Trek guy, though. But I do like the new Star Trek movies.
I'm excited to see this new one.
A thing today that they've said that as kind of a nod to George Takei, that the Sulu character will be openly gay.
And he's not happy about that.
Yeah, but he didn't want that to happen.
I don't know about Takei's response to it. I just read that that's what they were doing.
I just read the response before we recorded it. He's like, yeah, it's kind of against what Gene Roddenberry's character was supposed to be.
That's really weird,
I know,
to me.
Strange way of looking at it.
But they did it as a they felt they were honoring Takei that way, and it sounds like the way that they're handling it is in a very, like, this isn't a plot point, it's just you're gonna find out that he has a partner and all this kind of stuff, and that it's not a big deal, which is how they should be handling it,
right? Yeah.
So I think it's interesting, and I think it's kind of a interesting nod to Takei. It's funny to me that he doesn't approve of it.
It's the honor that he never wanted.
I think he needs to lean into it, especially now. Like, because that's been a thing that, like, in TV, I don't know if you guys have been hearing about this, but like you know, fans of The 100 are pissed off that they killed off a character.
Oh, who?
The 100, the TV show.
Oh, yeah, I watched that show.
When they killed off Alexa.
Well, that's because she's working on other stuff.
Right. No, legitimate reason for her leaving the show, but they killed off her character in a way that was a trope.
Spoiler.
You're never going to watch that show. Like,
and so it was just a cliche trope that was pulled from another show. It was insensitive, the timing of it. And I totally understand why people are pissed, like why the LGBT community is pissed off. And then Person of Interest, a show I'm a big fan of, ended about a week and a half ago, or 2 weeks ago. And
was it a good ending?
It was.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I think you're a big. It turned very science fictiony. Didn't
great
show?
Ending, but they did something.
It was always science fictiony, kind of.
It was a huge science fiction.
I never thought it was from just.
It was like artificial intelligence versus artificial intelligence, basically.
Oh.
I
never got that from the trailers.
With it operating, manipulating humanity to fight each other, that kind of thing. It was great.
Was what now?
Persons of interest.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, right?
What? Exactly.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just a mystery
Jesus
show.
Is the
Look,
for years I've been telling people, look, I know it's on CBS. I know they market
it's
as
great
a procedural.
Show.
But you have to listen to me. This is the most crazy. And this is why CBS ultimately decided to dump it and cancel it. They gave it a half season for their fifth season to finish the show. Because they don't know how to market it, and it didn't fit in with the rest of their lineup. And also, Warner Brothers owned it, and it cost a ton of money to produce.
They gave it longer than a Fox show.
It was the most expensive show on CBS.
Hmm.
To Blue Bloods
on location
like
in New York. Anyway, great ending to the show. Very satisfying.
I'm starting to watch it now. I'm on season 3. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a satisfying ending.
There's a lot. I'll say this. There's a lot of stuff that happens to characters.
They don't kill any of the good characters, do they?
There are a lot of deaths in the show. I'll just put it that way.
Damn it. That just means someone I like, someone's going to die.
Yeah. Well.
So, I just got back from Dallas last week on a little mini vacation. So the main reason I went is I had tickets to see the Monkees. You know, I'm a
the
big...
What?
The Monkees.
Who's that?
Who? What? Who dat?
Hey, hey.
Yeah, exactly. So, we drove up there on a Sunday... Monday, our plan was to go to Six Flags. I hadn't been there in a long time, right? During the weekend of Comicpalooza, I got sick. And I worked a lot of hours at work the next week. Turns out, I got strep throat. Didn't know about it.
What happens when you shook What's-Her-Face's hand? Tara Reid's hand.
I did not get anywhere near Tara Reid.
Shouldn't have shook her hand, man. That's not you were all up in there.
But my wife convinced me to finally go to one of those Walgreens, ready clinics. And, and she's like, yeah, you were positive for strep throat. Here's some antibiotics. And we didn't go to Six Flags that day.
I can imagine why.
But we went to a lot of half prices during that weekend and a lot of going around. The coolest place we went to in Dallas is something brand new in Frisco. It's the National Video Game Museum. If you have not been there, you're a video game fan. Fucking awesome.
This is in Dallas?
It's in Frisco.
Oh, wow.
Outside of Dallas.
Yeah. Oh. And we actually parked over it. We found out where the Gearbox studios are.
Yeah, did you try to break in?
No, we just parked in the parking lot and basked
for a bit.
But it was a very nondescript building. You didn't know... If you didn't look it up on, Google Maps, you would not know it was there.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
What was the inside of the museum like?
It's like a learning center. So there was also a kids area in that building. There was a little art area, but it was $12 to get in. It's probably maybe 5,000 square feet, just a big room. But it goes around. And if you go to our Metal Geeks Facebook page, there's actually a live video.
Yeah, I saw the video. You walked around.
Yeah, it's really cool. If you were a video game fan from back in the day, there's a huge Pong machine that would barely even fit in this room. It was so awesome.
But it could fit.
I don't know. Barely.
So you're saying?
You could say it could, maybe. But there's a lot of cool things that I've never seen, like a lot of prototype video game systems that were never produced.
Never released?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. If you are a nerd for this kind of stuff and you are in the area, it's definitely worth a couple of hours of your time.
JD would probably enjoy something like that.
Yeah, I want to go see that.
I heard about it, it was weird. I was listening to one of the podcasts that I listen to a lot is Cheap Ass Gamer and the CADcast. And one of the hosts, he had to go there for work, and he was just talking about it, and I'm like, oh, I had maybe heard about it before, but I totally forgot about it. And it was 2 days before I was going on the trip. I'm like, I am definitely putting that on my agenda to go. I'm glad I did.
Cool.
A lot of fun.
Did you bring anything cool back?
From
the museum?
From the museum.
Did they have a souvenir store or
they
something?
They did. It was not very good.
No.
I bought a $3 magnet just because I wanted to buy something that had their logo on it.
Yeah, you got something.
And I got my wife a little Funko mini, the little keychain ones you can get. They had a Claptrap from Borderlands that she had never seen before. So
cool.
Of course, got her that.
Yeah,
but got a lot of cool stuff at different half price around the city.
So get to the highlight. How was Monkees?
The Monkees,
yeah,
were awesome.
Yeah.
It was weird. There was one of the other podcasts I listened to is the Zilch Monkeys podcast.
Which have been on the show before.
We have, actually, this has brought up Ken and both Larry Roberts from November's Doom want to continue that episode now. But we have to have a sequel. They want to do more.
We did like 2 hours.
I know. There's more, dude. The Blu-ray. As the time we record this, the Blu-ray will be in my mailbox tomorrow.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Woo! I'm excited.
I'm excited.
So out of my depth on this, so.
Yeah. Do they have any of the guests on the album live?
No, they did not.
No.
That would have been cool, though.
Yeah.
I listened to the actual Monkees album.
I know, I want to talk to you about that. Let's talk about the show first, real quick.
Okay.
So yeah. There was a quick meetup with some of the listeners, and one of the actually co-hosts from the show came into town, and she wrote a really nerdy book about the TV show. And I got that autographed by her. Met a couple, you know, really cool people that lived in Dallas that are big fans. And we actually hung out with a couple the next day. We actually went to lunch before we, like, headed home. So it was a good show. It was at an opera house. So my wife was with
me. Where was it?
The Winspear Opera House.
Not familiar with it.
It's I think it's new. It's right there in the little art district. It's right by, like, Deep Ellum and all that.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool place because, I mean, when we got there early, waiting outside, they had these tables and chairs. It was this covered area and everything. There was better than just waiting outside in the fucking heat, you know? It was like the end of June in Dallas. It was hot as balls. I'm going to say balls again because it was hot.
Hey, don't blame me. You like balls.
It was like 105 degrees in, like, the shade, you know? But the only thing I want to say about the show, it felt very, the beginning portion of the show, there was a full hour and there was like intermission.
But you've seen the Monkees before.
I have.
Yeah, okay.
The last time was a much better performance, I think, because like Mike Nesmith was in the band. It was very felt more raucous, more just rock and roll, you know?
Yeah.
But it felt very...
poppy?
No. Wasn't that they felt very, they were held back because they're like, oh, we're in like this really nice, you know, opera house. But after the intermission and they played, I don't remember what song it was they played, but all of a sudden they were like firing on all cylinders. They were like rocking out, you know? So
maybe that was their whole plan the whole entire time.
I don't know. It could be.
Weird for a rock show to have an intermission.
Well, they're old. They're in the 70s.
So. I don't know if the Stones have intermissions. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
No, their concerts are just 20 minutes long. That's all.
Right.
You know what? Rolling Stones concert, that's appropriate length, I think.
Yeah, you can only listen to so much. You can only listen to so much Rolling Stone.
That's true. But I might.
So you start really, hey, didn't I just hear this song?
So apparently there's a club.
A Monkees club?
No, a club in Dallas.
Oh, that plays exclusively Monkees music.
No, shut up.
I'm just trying to get to the point. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get to the point. If you would shut up, I could get there easily. Mark Cuban has a TV station called AXS, whatever it is.
AXS TV.
Oh, is that one of his?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So
I actually like AXS.
So apparently they're doing this whole free concert series this summer. Different bands are playing, like Hootie and the Blowfish is one of them. But
not going
like,
to that.
No, there's a bunch of different bands, but one of the bands is the Monkees. And you could sign up through his website to get free tickets for this performance.
That's
and
cool.
It's at a small club that only fits like 1,000 people, you know?
Which one?
In Dallas again, or?
Is it one of the Deep Ellum venues?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look.
I grew up in Dallas and spent a lot of time in Deep Ellum, so that's why I keep asking these questions.
Speaking
about
of, we went to
what
Deep
venue
Ellum,
you
went to Deep Ellum twice when we were there.
We
ate at Lulu Sandwich Shop or something like that.
Okay.
What is it called? Captain Lulu's or something? And we ate at Pecan.
It's the Pecan Barbecue.
I'm
not familiar with that place, but I remember I saw where you said that you went there and
it's
very good.
Fucking good, dude. If you're ever back in Deep Ellum, delicious.
What was it?
Just good ass barbecue.
Oh, it was barbecue.
Barbecue, yeah.
Gotcha.
They had like this jalapeno like cheddar like and like a sausage, and they had like burnt ends. Nothing beats fucking burnt ends. I'm sorry.
Is that what you tell all the ladies?
Do I tell all the ladies?
I'm a little confused as to why Hootie and the Blowfish is.
Don't worry about that.
Well, doesn't that guy do a country music now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was actually.
It's a free concert.
He was,
you don't argue with
he was in Houston on the 4th.
Huh.
My wife's sister and dad went to go see Darius Rucker.
Seems like he pulls more as Darius Rucker than as Hootie and the Blowfish now.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Ooh, the more you know.
The more you know.
Did you go downtown on the 4th?
No. When they were like, yeah, we're going downtown, I'm like, have fun. Okay. I'm not going.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't watch the Freedom Over Texas thing, did you?
No.
Oh.
We were at our friend's house on the 24th floor, which is great because there's two balconies at his apartment, and you could see fireworks from all around the city.
24th floor?
Yeah. Midtown?
Oh, high Rise.
Okay. High Rise.
I saw that movie, by the way. Now that we're talking about High Rise, what's his face?
Hiddleston
movie. Weird fucking flick.
Let me tell you something. I don't want that guy to be James Bond. I've decided this. I don't have a problem with Hiddleston himself.
Why didn't you want him to be Bond?
He has a rat face. And I have a problem with a rat face James
Bond. Oh, man.
Bond.
She's going to stab you.
No, I'm not saying he's... he is a unusually handsome fella.
Okay, so
he doesn't look like James Bond.
Who would you pick for
James Bond?
James Bond.
Idris Elba.
Yes.
The queer number one candidate. At this point.
Obviously that's not going to happen.
That, unfortunately, yeah.
Because one, he's not white, and they're racist.
Right.
And two, you know.
I was a big fan of this social media campaign to have a female Bond.
That'd be kind of cool.
Gillian Anderson.
That's all that.
And
that would be.
And it seemed to fit so well. Just like it was a fan constructed image. It was passed around enough there. It got on her plate, and she looked at it and she's like, "Wow, that's great. Make it happen." You know.
Unfortunately, unless they do another reboot again, because
right,
because that fan theory got killed. That Bond is a title that the spy receives. It's not a. They made it into a person.
It's just a person, though, right?
Now, yeah, because of the Skyfall movie.
But I thought that every new Bond actor creates a new universe, like a new iteration of that
that's
universe.
That's how I thought of it
as well.
I
guess
that's kind of a good point, I guess.
Because why would they be succeeding each other?
It's a new... It's like a re... It's just like it wipes it clean every time there's a new actor.
That's always what I assumed it was.
I guess. All right.
The show is going to be at the Bomb Factory. Do you know where that is? It's in Deep Ellum on Canton.
They make bombs there?
Small club or... You ever been there?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the Bomb Factory.
It's one of these...
interest of people in Dallas.
Right. Well, and people that are trying to go to this free show, which it says first come, first serve tickets, basically.
On accesstv.com?
Well, it's going to be... I think it's going to be broadcast live.
No. To sign up for tickets, you go to accesstv.com?
Yeah, thebombfactory.com is where it's at.
With two turntables and a microphone?
And a microphone.
Mark Cuban was a surprisingly good guest on on Any Given Wednesday, that Bill Simmons show.
Really?
I saw the first episode of that.
It was good.
The guy's kind of an asshole.
Of course he is. He's Bill Simmons.
I have no idea who that is. Should I know who that is?
He's a sports writer who became famous in the late 90s and early aughts and, you know, became a juggernaut because he's a Boston guy. He writes from the perspective of a fan. He's not impartial at all.
Mm.
He clearly shows his Boston bias. And
he had a very drunk Ben Affleck on his episode, the one I watched.
So some of the Mark Cuban stuff. So we have, he's going to have Bad Company, Casey and the Sunshine Band, Bret Michaels and the Monkees. Not on the same day.
Oh, I was like, wow, that's one hell of a
lineup.
That'd
be a great lineup, though. I'd go for that. All right, so
is that the whole tour? The whole tour?
It's just they're filming for the concert.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know what? We have something to give away from one of our sponsors.
Who's our sponsor?
Our sponsor is Tweaked Audio.
Woo!
Wow. Where's that website at?
At tweakedaudio.com.
What's the code to put in?
Metal Geeks.
What does that code do?
Gives you 33% off on your purchase.
And
free shipping, and then they already offer a lifetime warranty.
They do. And we have a pair to give away.
They're classic.
This is the...
Tweaked Audio Classic?
Is this the classic one?
Mm-hmm. As opposed to the new ones.
Tweaked Audio Classic.
Just kidding. New Coke joke, guys.
Tweaked Audio is less like earbuds and more like an in-head audio system. That's what it says on the box.
Written on the box.
This is a cool one. This has like an inline mic, and like I said before, I use mine like every day of my life. So we're going to try to figure out a good way to get this away. I think Twitter will be the way to go. So we want to know why you want to win these headphones. I'm sorry, these in-head phones. So what you have to do is you have to tag both Tweaked Audio as well as at Metal Geeks and tell us why you want to win.
We'll randomly select somebody?
It'll be randomly selected as a winner.
Cool. Good luck to everyone.
That's cool, right?
Yeah.
Free.
Remember, hashtag tweakedaudio.com.
It's free. They exist, and I'm looking at them right here.
Right. He wants to steal them, actually.
Yeah.
And make sure you tag us in the post, or we will never see it.
Yep. At Metal Geeks, at Tweaked Audio, I hope that's what it is.
Well, I don't know what their Twitter is, but if you just put hashtag tweakedaudio.com, it would work.
Hang
or
on.
Tweaked Audio.
Since we were really prepared for this, I'll find out for you real fast.
That would assume we actually prepare for anything.
If they want the headphones bad enough, they'll find out what the Tweaked Audio Twitter handle is.
That's right.
Still, I will provide confirmation all the same.
We need to play some kind of like music while we do this.
No, or we can just go on to the next topic.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Do you know what else happened that's video game related?
E3. But we're gonna get to that.
While
we're still talking about stuff for your ear holes, we're gonna get to George Hates Metal.
Mm.
Damn.
Yes.
Alright.
Yes, bitch. Yes.
Because y'all picked the band that you know I'm not a fan of.
You know why we picked this band?
I'll remind you again what the name of the segment is, George.
It doesn't mean anything.
George hates metal, not George semi-loves metal.
Semi-loves metal.
So we picked Blind Guardian Imagination from the Other Side because just announced that on the next tour, they will be performing this album in its entirety live.
That's becoming like a popular trend with bands. Like they're just like picking old catalogs.
I got to tell you guys, I know Dave and Sean are huge Blind Guardian nerds. And I use that in the nicest context possible.
Nerds!
I was on the fence about going to this show. I'm like, I just saw them last year. Same opening band, same everything. When I found out they're doing this album in like in entirety, I was like, all right.
Purchase tickets today.
I'm down. I'm in for that. It's cool.
My tickets were already purchased.
I know they were.
One of my birthday gifts was tickets to the show.
And when's the last time you actually saw them?
12 years ago was the last time I saw Blind Guardian, and so I'm super excited.
So time is due since you're a big fan.
Yes.
Did you see them at the Houston show?
No, I saw them at the Canyon Club in Dallas.
Yeah, they were kind of ill that tour. They had the flu when they came in.
I remember because I got to meet them all afterwards, and Hanzi was all scarfed up.
Yeah,
and
they were in bad shape.
He was complaining about...
How was his vocal, though?
It was phenomenal.
They were great, but like...
It was...
like
fantastic.
After the Houston show, they had to split right away.
Were they?
Yeah, yes, yeah. They were.
The announcement was crazy. I saw it a couple of days ago, and it was such a great announcement.
I want to bring something up to you. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So the announcement came on the heel from Prog Power, right? That they're performing that album in its entirety at Prog Power. And here's my question: why would that be such a special appearance at Prog Power if they're going to do it on the entire tour?
Prog Power's lost all kind of exclusivity it had in terms of bringing...
Well, I don't know.
You know, they do some cool things like they did last year. They did... Or this year, they're doing the...
they're doing Devin. With Annika. And they're doing...
It's just that they're running out of things to do. Like, they were, Prog Power, when it first debuted, was a huge part of bringing,
I really want to go
bringing
still.
These bands over to America for the first time.
Yeah.
Because bands would route their tours around it, and it would justify the expense, sort of. A lot of bands lost money doing that, too. But I don't really think of Prog Power as now as a place where, you know, momentous things happen. Falconer's last show was at Prog Power, and that's cool. But the Blind Guardian
Every
thing,
time you say that band name, it reminds me of the SNL skit.
The
Falconer.
No, but okay, forget Prog Power for a second. Blind Guardian, this is important for a couple reasons. They have never played an album throughout, like from start to finish in any tour. They only thought of this last week because they were in between cities traveling, and Andre or Marcus, one of the two guitarists.
He said it was both of them.
Like, why don't we just do the entire album? And it's like, why don't we? Because they've always kind of dodged around that. I've heard them answer that question in interviews.
Yeah.
Like, you ever play Nightfall front to back? They're like, that's exhausting, and no one wants to hear that. You know?
Well,
a lot of people do, but I understand.
I can understand that for Nightfall, even though what a phenomenal album. I can understand that sentiment.
Yeah.
But Imaginations from the Other Side is such a fantastic candidate because it's so solid.
Yeah.
Every track from beginning to end.
And the thing is that they have not ever played a Past and Future Secret. They played the first time they came to the States, and the first time they played they came to the States was at Prog Power. But they've never played that song in America. They always slash it in favor of the Bard song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So finally, American audiences are going to get to hear that song.
Alongside, I'm excited for Dave, who finally get to see him again after so many years.
It's been a long time.
It's like, I know it's one of your favorite bands. And
I mean, just that set list. Okay, like, what else can they sprinkle onto 9 songs from that album? Probably like a greatest hits amalgamation.
Well,
like 5 more songs.
This is still in support of Red Mirror.
So, probably,
so we're going to see some
2 songs from Red
some
Mirror.
Stuff off of that.
That's yeah. the same thing.
I imagine
that,
Bard's song will be thrown in there.
Yeah.
Same thing like that. When Fear Factory did Demanufacture on the last tour, they played the entire album, took a really quick break, and they came back. And you thought, you know, okay, they've already played how long? They're going to only play like, what, 3 or 4 more songs? They did like 8 or 9, 10 more songs.
I hope
know?
It's a longer set list than the last
because,
time.
Because, like you said, they have to promote the new album still, and they have to play the classic songs that's not on that album,
well,
too.
Don't play like the 9th Wave. It's like a 9-minute long song. Like, I it's not a bad song, but I don't need to hear it again. Like, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm so excited about the idea of hearing another Holy War script from my Requiem, Mordred song. Just all these things I never thought I'd get to hear because they're not, like, a greatest hit. They're not mm-hmm. part of that package.
But that's, I love Blind Guardian so much. All of their stuff is really good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But that album in particular is just one of my favorites. It's so good.
So, we're going to refresh George's memory really quick, and we're going to take a really quick break while we listen to some of it. And we're going to get back, and we're going to get right into George Hates Metal. And I can see the look on his face. I already know how the outcome of this is going to be.
I do know now.
I think I do. All right, we'll be right back. Five, four, three, two. So, what'd you think?
Are we talking to me, or?
We're talking to you.
Oh.
This is the George Hayden Metal segment.
Look, I'm going to try to be as sincere, because I know...
Be diplomatic.
I'm going to try to be as honest, but not as rash or mean, because I know you guys are super fans. I don't want to shit all over something you care and hold dear to your hearts. Because, you know, if someone said that shit about something I really loved, I'd take it personally, too. And I don't mean anything personally when I say anything
I'm
about
looking it. At the way Dave is staring at
like,
you.
He just wants to rail like on my face, probably.
Right now.
What I was thinking was I've spent my entire life having the music that I love shitted on by everybody that I know. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
So the best way I can say this is like there are parts of this album that are sound amazing. Like the music sounds great. Unfortunately, maybe because I have never been exposed to this earlier on into my rock music listening or metal music listening. As growing as a person, it's just I don't like his vocals and the way he sings, and I know it sounds like blasphemy for you guys, but I just don't think he's all that great. It sounds like a fucking crow is dying or something is scratching along the walls. There you go. Like, there's moments where he sounds perfect and he sounds like oh man, it's getting better and it's getting better, and then he just ruins it with like some kind of Wailing scream that you would hear in a movie.
I kind of find your description like it's actually not all that negative in a way, because there is sort of ugliness in this album especially, because he can sound pretty. He has the skill to sound very clean and very pretty, like he's singing to your grandmother on Easter. Okay, but on this album,
wait, what?
I know that's on, a weird
but on,
saying.
But on this weird album, pull. On this album, these songs are about
this album he's singing to your grandmother on Halloween.
No, these
kind of
lyrics there that demand the vocal performance that he's giving.
And this is kind of going to touch on what we were talking about off air just a moment. We should have been, but so let me come back around to it then to this point, because what we were discussing was that. You know, first of all, we discussed Blind Guardian transcends their genre.
Mm-hmm.
That they're kind of in that upper metal god status or very close to it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, I would wear a Marduk shirt to a Blind Guardian show, and nobody would care.
Right.
No. Nobody. And you're right. That they exist as their own entity outside of their genre.
Yeah.
And so then we discussed a little bit about. What we were starting to get into was you talked about it being a suspension of cynicism, I think is the word you use, isn't it? And I totally agree with you in that has to appeal to you as a listener on some level. And what I had was starting to say was that because of their subject matter that they deal with is all fantasy and myth, they're doing with music what fundamentally fantasy and myth is meant to do to the people it appeals to, which is it does speak to a, for lack of a better term, a kind of a spiritual calling, so to speak. It's like it's this mythic journey that they're going on. And so, yes, there's a kind of naive innocence about a lot of that subject matter, and it's not so weighed down by worldly cynicism. Now, as far as that's concerned, to bring this back around to what we were just saying, this album is, for Blind Guardian, very cynical.
Right, yeah.
Because it deals...
the loss of innocence.
And it deals so heavily with... I mean, songs like Script for My Requiem about a crusader who feels regret.
Yeah.
And who hears the cries of the people that he was called upon by God to slay.
Yeah.
And there's that despair, and but the whole album is very full of these kind of cynical attitudes, except I would say the title track, Imagination from the Other Side, which is that it's totally this open call of there's this whole other worlds out here.
I mean, and that was kind of part, like a little seedling of the concept they did on the new album.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with what you're saying. And it's like, there was this Invisible Oranges article, and if you are familiar with that website, it's a metal website that gets a little bit of reputation for being an elitist metal website.
A little bit.
But I like them, but they wrote an article. They don't cover power metal at all. Power metal gets shit on by the elitist metal media. That's why the Metal Vision exists, to be a counterweight to that. But they wrote an article about Blind Guardian on their anniversary recently, basically saying, like, Blind Guardian is one of the few metal bands that you can be in the car with a death metal fan, a black metal fan, grindcore fan, whatever fan, and you put them on, and everyone just sits there and listens to it. You know, doesn't complain. And it's like, yeah, they're a universal totem or touchstone for metal fans, you know? And I think that's because there's something innate in the way they approached their, not only the evolution of their sound, but just their integrity as far as what they do. They're totally a blinker. They are oblivious to what anyone's doing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care. Blind Guardian has sounded like Blind Guardian from 88 to 92 to 2016. You know, they are oblivious to anything else that goes on around them in music.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't say the same about a lot of other metal bands. You can't say the same about, like, most successful mainstream metal bands.
You know what I love about Hanzi's vocals? His accent still comes through. Like Scorpions. That's one of the things that endears me to him.
And I think the thing is like, this is not my favorite genre of metal.
Yeah.
And they picked it specifically because I'm not... Right. And then the concert coming up.
I approach it differently. I think about, like... When I hear about the segment, I'm like, what band could I get him not to hate? You know?
They've done it a couple of times.
Right. We do sometimes. maybe to your point, though, a little bit, Blind Guardian was the first power metal band I heard. And they may have spoiled power metal for me. Power metal is not one of my favorite metal genres. There is great stuff in there.
Yeah.
But it takes being in the right mood for a lot of it. A lot of it is, some of it just feels so cheesy to me that I really have to be in just the right frame of mind.
I love that cheesiness.
I know you do. And some of it, there's some great power metal out there. I'm not saying that there's not. It's just that I don't find myself listening to it that often.
Blind Guardian, to me, has never really been a traditional power metal band.
I don't think they are either.
They're more a traditional metal band, which is different than power metal, in my opinion. I don't consider Iron Maiden power metal. even though they have power metal tinges.
Clearly one of the prime influences on power metal.
Yeah,
clearly.
But they're not, in my opinion, they're not power metal.
No, yeah, I agree.
But the same way I feel about Blind Guardian.
Blind Guardian came up with, and they were being in the press tagged with Helloween and then later Iron Savior.
Yeah.
And they came up in the 90s, and in the 90s, if you were a band from Europe with clean vocals,
you were power metal.
You were a power metal band, because the movement was starting in the mid-90s, and magazines need a way to lump everyone together, and it's like, oh, they're singing about fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Queen vocals. They're a power metal band.
Sure.
They're a thrash metal band and a speed metal band and a power metal band, all rolled into one big...
I think that's why I like the instrument part of the music more than anything else.
Because you hear that thrashy...
Yeah, speed. It sounds
If you
great.
Listen to their older material, it's much more speed metal.
See, that's the kind of stuff I like that part when they start breaking down in the song and it got faster and heavier. I was like, oh, this sounds good. And then, you know, he starts belching out like opera or screechy opera.
I wouldn't say he's operatic at all.
It's like screechy opera.
Yeah.
I bet if if I spent more time with it, because I didn't really know what the hell I was walking into when they sent me this. I just kind of just I played it, and I started going back to work.
I bet if I
listened to it again, I bet I could find a few songs on there that I actually would listen to.
Would you be willing to go see them live?
I'd go see anybody live. I don't care. You took me to go see Anthrax.
Yeah, well, it changed your mind, didn't it?
Well, they're a fun band to see live.
So is Blind Guardian, I think.
I can't say that I'm like the hugest Anthrax fan, but I do like a lot of their songs off their newest album, and I know a lot of their older songs. But I'm not a huge fan.
Okay. That's fine.
I think they're great musicians, and they're a pinnacle to metal.
You know what else is a pinnacle to metal? We've already mentioned before, Iron Maiden. We have to talk about this game.
Oh, fucking, this fucking game.
Hang on, before we get there,
yes.
Confirmed at Tweaked Audio.
At Tweaked Audio, yes, I checked that too.
Okay.
To get those headphones, guys.
At Tweaked Audio, at Metal Geeks. Tell us why you want to win. Tell us what band. Actually, tag the band that you want to listen to the most when you wear these headphones. Maybe it's Blind Guardian. Maybe it's Iron Maiden. Maybe it's somebody else crappy.
Or hashtag George's Hate Metal.
This is like the easiest way to win a pair of free headphones.
No kidding.
It really takes like 5 seconds. So,
if you listen to the show, you could possibly win. It's just that simple.
Our one fan's going to win.
Good for them. Good for them.
Not giving them right to you, Bill.
You know, I'd be interested to hear you. I could, like, give you some Iced Earth.
I don't like Iced Earth. He's played some before.
Okay,
before.
I have. The problem with Carrie, I'll tell you this, is that Carrie
problem
often
with
picks
one
the wrong
problem
song
with Carrie?
To start
Come on.
No, that's not true.
No. Because I could give you some, like, deep cut classic Iced Earth. You could start on, and you'd be like, because they were the American kind of not answer, but the kind of equivalent to Ice.
There is a newish kind of band called Skullfist. You heard of them? I'm sure you heard of them. They were on the Deathgasm. That's the only reason why.
That's why you know.
The only reason why I know them because
Deathgasm is on Netflix now. By the way,
is it?
Yes, it is. Go watch it.
It just got streaming. So I went back to listen to them. Their vocals are a little too power metal for me. However, the music is fucking great. Like, I think they can play the shit out of their instruments.
They're more like new wave traditional power metal.
But I don't really like the vocals though. Part. I like everything else but the vocals. It ruins it for me.
Hmm. I think the last time I was on the Metal Geeks, we talked about like the vocal, like why you don't like the vocal
we did.
Thing.
It's a regular
it's like
complaint.
Leaning
Tower of Cheesa is what it sounds like.
Yeah. See, I've never use that adjective, use that word as an adjective for metal.
Jeez.
Because I find it's like saying something's great. I won't use the word great too. It doesn't say anything, and it does, and it's like.
So it's like it's the sugar of words, is what you're saying?
It's just like when you say that, it's like, what are you trying not to say? You know, like what is the music is making you feel uncomfortable. Or something like
talking about the term cheesy. Is
yeah,
that you're saying
yeah.
Okay,
it's like what do you? You're saying that word because it's a deflection. That word is a deflection. What are you not? You know,
I'm not deflecting anything. It's just not. I don't know. It's not fun. It's
like for example,
if anything, it's more like I would make fun of it, and more than anything, because it's...
See, and that kind of hits to the heart of it, though. It's because it's like, how much cynicism do you have inside yourself?
How much what?
And how much cynicism as outwardly
cynicism?
Projected?
Oh, well, that's true.
For me, it's
I can
like,
be very cynical.
I consider myself a cynical person in some respects, but I know I secretly cover it up that there's a yearning chasm for hopefulness for me. Like, I want things to be... I want to live in that fantasy world, you know, that kind of thing. I kind of want to... That's the world I want to live in. And when I see the... there's a guy, a really good writer on Metal Archives, and he basically summed it up once. He said that power metal is... It uses science fiction and fantasy themes to kind of... I don't know what the exact language he used, but basically to deflect against the outside world. Like, it uses its proclivity to grab those themes, lyrical themes and musical themes, and use them as a shield against the cynicism of the real world.
Well, and this is where heavy metal, by and large, just as a whole, is and has always been looked down upon by your tastemakers, by your people who get to decide what's, because they've deemed themselves those who get to decide what's cool.
Right.
And one of the frequent labels that it gets slacked with is immature, and closely related to that is escapist.
Yeah.
That, but heavy metal's, that's just juvenile escapism. It's like, right. It sure as shit is.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right, it's escapism.
You know,
escapism.
The great thing about heavy metal? Never fucking gone away. It's just gotten better and better.
Yes, it has. But that escapism, I'm not going to deny that it's there.
Right.
But why is it still there? And why will heavy metal not go away?
Right.
And it's because people need that. And they're and maybe it's just a certain kind of person that goes, you know what? I need this right now, because this helps. It's not escapism so that I don't have to deal with the real world. It's escapism so I can deal with the real world.
And Bruce Dickinson said that himself. Because he was asked in a press conference. It's on YouTube. And he gives this great answer where the guy goes, why are you, you're in your 50s now. Why are you still playing this kind of music? He's like, because I have to. Because I want to tell stories. Because this is the way I go through. This is the way I can deal with life. And he's like, people who listen to Maiden, that's what they're listening for, whether they realize it or not. Mm-hmm. They're listening because that little bit of escapism you get through Maiden, or it's like reading a book. It's like, why do you read a book?
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's any kind of creative literature or art.
Right.
Of course, it's escapism. Yeah. All of this shit's escapism on some level.
Fifth real world, you have a fucked up real world most of the time.
And human beings have a need to deal with that.
Yeah.
And this is, at least for some of us, an effective way of dealing with it.
Comic books are escapism.
Yes.
Video games are escapism.
Yes.
Music is escapism. Whatever makes you happy is going to help you get through your day.
And it's more than just a distraction or a diversion.
Yeah.
It's there's a relationship there, and a place where you go, I see myself in this. And even though the story that's happening in this song or in this book or whatever is completely fantastic and is in no way reflects the world that I live in any kind of material way, I still see myself in this character or in this situation, and this helps me understand my own situation.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, not, I don't think like all music is escapist.
Not all of it is.
I think there's a lot of music that's purposely driven towards being in the real world. Modern hip hop, of course.
A lot of punk rock.
Punk rock.
Overtly political.
Yes,
and
exactly, yeah. Even like a album like Beyonce's Lemonade, which just came out, and it's like she's using a lot of vignettes and stuff like that to
personal feelings.
And to talk about political and social issues.
That's the one
where
she bitches about her boyfriend, like girlfriend or something?
Husband?
Yeah. Whatever he is.
Yeah, but there's more to the album than that. There's like a lot.
It's also about feminism
and what's going on in society and stuff. It's actually kind of an in-depth album, but she does use a lot of.
Like, did you watch that HBO special?
Vapid elements to sort of tell her.
Well, she plays to her audience.
Well, yeah, you gotta sell records.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it in a negative way. I'm just like, yeah.
Hey, she's
like,
Estonian, like a song,
like a Beatles song, like She Loves Me. You know, that song is very... There's one meaning to that song. Maybe one and a half if you stretch it, but there's really just one meaning to that song. And it's like, okay, that's the ditty. It's catchy, and it works on that one level, and there's not a lot of depth there. It's a great song. There's not a lot of depth there. If you compare that song to, say, Iron Maiden's How Would Be Thy Name, where you, when you listen to the lyrics, you're drawn to this man sitting in the prison cell waiting his execution, and he's narrating the sequence of events. That's depth, you know? That's a big pool you have to dive into. She Loves Me, or She Loves You, whatever the song is, you know? That's you're swimming in the kiddie pool, right?
Just that's saying. The Beatles for you.
Right, so there's depth.
I think not true.
No, because then I would say, like,
well, you know, okay, Eleanor Rigby, when they start doing LSD, they got a little bit more in-depth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not knocking the Beatles at all. But, I mean,
you can if you want
there's
to.
Degrees of depth in music, and heavy metal, yeah, I think, has always had a greater depth than most.
On
music.
Average,
it can
not,
be very shallow.
Yes, it can,
way.
Yeah. But on average, I agree with you.
Hair metal? A lot of that 80s era shit was very rapid and very...
Yeah. I wouldn't even go... Yeah, I would agree with you, but I wouldn't even say that's the first example. My first example would be like...
Sure.
Stupid death metal that talks about mutilations.
Yeah.
Because that is fantasy-esque, but it's very... It's cheap Slayer. Horror movie fantasy.
Slayer is not... They're not Satanists. They don't go out and worship Satan and kill stuff in the name of Satan. It's a shtick. And a lot of these bands are just shticks, and people don't get it. Cannibal Corpse is not a shtick. I mean, it is a shtick. They don't go out and fuck a girl with a knife and all this kind of stuff. But
as far as you know.
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, and that's ultimately...
If they did, I'm sure there would be some kind of right. news story about it somewhere.
That's also why I kind of fell out with Cannibal Corpse like when I was done being a teenager. Because the shock value's kind of worn off and I need something... I guess I subconsciously I want something more...
I Come Blood doesn't resonate with you.
Wow, you should see a doctor about that.
You really should.
But
that's the modern day version of the lyric. I come blood. I gotta go fucking see a doctor.
You know, but a death album.
Death, yeah.
You know, those.
I was listening to Spiritual Healing. I mean, there's today.
Those are songs you think about, and it's like, oh wow, okay. Even like, you know, Metallica songs you think about and stuff. Not to
there's some yeah there's some very so. You know.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just
saying. I was like, well, you're getting to a point, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's all going back to Iron Maiden and the new video game.
Right. There's a lot of depth in this Iron Maiden iPad mobile game.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Not really.
It's cool they made it for free.
It's okay, so here's my quick and dirty review.
Yeah.
Playing for a couple days. Like it. It's called Iron Maiden Legacy of the Beast. It's cool. It's okay, it is a turn-based RPG game. You do level up, you have to get bigger and better, but you get to play as fucking Eddie in different incarnations of the character. You get to play, you hear Iron Maiden music the whole time. You get to play through levels based on, like, Power Slave and fucking the Wicker Man. I just downloaded got it as a character. If you're an Iron Maiden fan, this is the ultimate fan service. Is it a good game? No. Is it fun? Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about the game, I can tell it's going to be one of those...
Is it one of those in-purchases games?
There are some in-purchases in this game, but I'm never going to do that. I've never done that in a game.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing that damn fucking Disney Kingdom game.
God damn.
Never spend one penny on it.
Yeah.
I dropped out of that one sometime
back. You dropped out? Yeah. I'm still in it.
So it's just like Maiden's version of like Clash of... Clans or whatever.
No, not Marvel Clash of Clans. It's more...
Like Marvel's Heroes kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's what I would compare it to. It's like a Marvel Hero game.
I never played those games. I've seen people play those games.
It's exactly like that, but it's fucking Iron Maiden. It's
cool.
It's cool.
It's the kind of thing you play when you're, like, waiting for your oil change to get done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but,
it's a free game, so, I mean... You don't have to pay for it if you don't want to.
It's hard to critique free.
I'm sure, you know... That Iron Maiden would appreciate your downloads.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure they would.
It will put jet fuel in their jet.
Because Iron Maiden is fucking hurting for money right now. I don't think they have enough money right now. When are they coming back here? That's what I want to know. When are they coming to Houston?
Yeah, they haven't said. I don't know. Damn it. I'm thinking like middle of next year sometime, probably. Yeah. They'll do a U.S. tour, yeah.
All right.
Another one.
I think it's time to wrap it up. We had a bunch of video game talk we wanted to get into because we missed E3 completely.
Well, I can tell you the highlights.
Let's just go, yeah, around real quick. What I know I've looked into a little bit, you've looked into a little bit.
I watched the whole thing.
I did too. What are your highlights? What are you looking forward to?
PlayStation blew E3 out of the water, like with their yeah. presentation. So they I'm did. Really, really looking forward to God of War 3 or the new God of War.
Four-ish,
kind of, because it's kind of pretending like the last game didn't happen.
Okay,
kind of, maybe, yeah, something like that. Days Gone looks cool as shit.
That's a biker zombie game.
Yeah,
that did look pretty cool.
I kind of thought it was like a Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah,
but it turned out not to be.
I mean, there was like fucking salvage of fucking zombies on.
Right,
it was crazy.
On
that note, I'm looking forward to Dead Rising 4 because that looks fucking fun. I love Dead Rising.
Yeah, I just kind of got tired after Dead Rising 2. I just got tired of...
Did you play 3?
No, it was like the same shtick over
again. I played all the way through the Dead Rising 1, and when I finished it, I was like, that was dumb. Why did I do that?
That's kind of how I got at the end of Dead Rising 2. I was like so all about it in Dead Rising 1. Then when Dead Rising 2, like halfway through it, I was like, I don't care anymore.
Well, I care.
Big time. But the game that we should be talking about... That's I think is spectacular is Spider-Man 4 for PS4.
Fucking yes, Spider-Man.
Yeah, amazing. It looks fucking cool. It looks like the game almost done because the footage they showed us looked like it was in-game footage.
I can't think of a better name than Spider-Man 4.
Well, it's Spider-Man PS4.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The hashtag. I don't think it has an official title yet.
Is that what it's really called?
It's just called Amazing Spider-Man, as far as I know.
Huh.
7 hours ago, a news article says, release date won't likely be announced soon.
Yeah, if anything, it will come out like 2017.
Yeah, it's not this year.
Here's something to be excited about. They're going to be remaking Skyrim.
That was the only thing that I remember seeing from E3 was the remaster.
Before
of
we move on from the Spider-Man game, you know what makes me excited about it the most? Is who is actually producing it and making this game.
Yeah, Insomniac Games. The guys who made Ratchet & Clank, the Infamous series.
I just interviewed him back in January at PAX.
Dude, did they mention anything?
This nobody knew about this yet.
It was like under the radar.
They have a game coming out. It's only available at GameStop for a digital or physical copy. You can download the digital game, but it's a Metroidvania style game, but you're a sub underwater.
Mm.
Song of the Deep. Got an autographed poster of that. It's really cool.
It sounds like a Metalocalypse song.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Much Mermaider. are you excited for Skyrim remake?
I'm trying to decide.
Is it a remaster or remake?
It's a remaster.
Oh, okay.
They're making an HD version of it.
Yeah. And it looks beautiful. It looks great. I've actually been... Not since Doom came out, but prior to that, I have been... playing through Skyrim again and doing a lot of the stuff that I had never gotten around to doing. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it. I don't know if this was an E3 thing or not. I wasn't paying that close attention, but the BioShock collection, I am actually excited about.
No, that wasn't part of E3, but yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
2 weeks ago? A couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Remastered with all the DLC and everything?
With all the extra content and everything. There's stuff in there
not
that I never...
Not multiplayer, though, is there?
Probably not. Because
their
multiplayer was stupid. Yeah. It was dumb.
Red Dead Redemption also got remastered for Xbox
not remastered.
One.
Is this going to be backwards compatible?
Oh, nice. Cool.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, nice.
I'll definitely play that again.
Yeah, there was some of the DLC for BioShock Infinite I never played.
I never played it either, yeah.
I was really looking forward to it because I really like Rapture as a character, so to speak. I really like Rapture, so I was looking forward to that DLC greatly, but I never got around to playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the when we return to Rapture and all that?
But
it's on the collector's edition or the deluxe edition or whatever. I bought that for the wifey because she's a huge, huge BioShock nerd.
I love BioShock. Yeah. The first one is one of my top favorite games ever.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Too bad that movie never got made.
I know, right? I don't know.
I think Gore
BioShock
Vinsky
movie.
Yeah, I think Gore Vinsky would.
I don't care.
Done.
They don't. It doesn't. I don't. It doesn't need a movie. It works fine how it is.
Seems to work better as a video game story.
Yeah, especially because
especially with Infinite's.
But I think he could have done it right.
Well, with the first and the third one, I feel like so much of the story has to deal with agency.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
that does. And if you make that into a passive movie watching experience, it completely removes that element of it.
So I have a trivia question for you guys. Gore Verbinski, very first video project he ever did was a heavy metal band. You know what band that was?
Anthrax.
No.
I have no idea.
Vicious Rumors.
No, I would never have gotten that.
Wow.
I like Gore Verbinski.
Very obscure and weird piece of information.
Good director.
Like, he's a great director. He could have done a great job with a Bioshock movie. He's probably still could.
Yeah, but it's out of his hands now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
I know.
Are they going to be doing another Bioshock?
Probably not.
Game? Probably not.
Ken Levine is
gone.
Gone.
Oh, really?
He's gone. And
I thought they sold the name to the company that...
Bioshock 2 was done by a different company.
Yeah.
Which is why it is the least good of them all.
The least good.
I like it. A lot of people hated it. I enjoyed it, and I think I enjoyed it because I like, as I mentioned before, I like Rapture so much that I enjoyed getting to go back and see a different side of it. And I also liked the counterbalance because the first one was an indictment... or at least an exploration of extreme individualism.
Right.
And the second one was an exploration of extreme collectivism. And I liked that.
So let's briefly touch on the new systems. The Xbox Slim or the Xbox One Slim.
That's going to be cheaper or whatever.
And they're also... it's
going to make the Xbox Ones cheaper.
The Xbox One S is what they're calling it.
Right.
And what they have... What's the Scorpio... Was supposed to be like their 4K system.
Right, that comes out much, much later.
Right, but here's the thing about 4K TVs, 4K video game systems, from people that I know that have actually played this kind of stuff. If you're sitting from further than like 6 feet away from your screen, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You just lose all kinds, your eyes can't handle, interpolate the actual, how many pixels and stuff there is. So you have to be sitting really close to your big screen TV, which is probably not safe for your eyes anyways.
I think that's a rumor.
That's an old wives' tale. Yeah. That's been pretty thoroughly
bumped. I'm actually kind of excited for the PS Vita, or not the Vita, the VR system.
You know, we went to a Best Buy last weekend, and they had that set up.
Yeah,
you could
actually
try it.
And I got to try it out.
I didn't try it.
It's pretty cool.
Is it?
The only thing...
Can you watch porn on it?
I don't know. I'm sure someone will develop something for porn for the PS, whatever the hell it's called.
Like all technology is created for porn.
Yeah, of course. At the E3, there was a porn hub.
The VR porn?
Yeah, the VR porn.
Apparently there's a long...
And it had the longest line out of any game there at E3.
That's not a joystick.
Could you imagine people testing out that game just getting awkward boners and shit while they're...
There's apparently, go to Google and search for that. There's pictures of people playing those games.
I was about to say pictures of awkward boners.
Well, I'm sure there's that
too.
Why
are you looking at awkward boners at work?
Not at work. I do it at home.
Oh, okay.
That'd be a weird thing to you get done with your time with the game, and then you have to walk away from the line.
And the next person
you had to deflect it with you're laughing, making fun of it with your buddy.
that was funny, bro. It's funny. It's great. Can I take your bag real quick? I gotta walk away.
I need to go to the bathroom.
Or it's kind of like, getting sloppy 500s.
After the first one, it's pretty sloppy.
Exactly. Also, Watch Dogs 2 looks pretty good.
I hope so, because... Watch Dogs 1 had a lot of promise.
I'm playing Watch Dogs 1 right now for the first time.
Yeah.
Is that the hacker?
Yeah, it's the hacker game.
Yeah, I heard it really fell apart.
It did.
I haven't found any problems with it. Some of the game controls are a little weird.
How far into it are you?
I just started.
See, I've heard that it starts strong and then it falls completely apart. I haven't played it, but that's what my recollection of...
Sequel, though, it seems like they just kind of rebuilt it from the ground up and made a whole new experience. At least from the gameplay trailer and whatnot.
Did we talk about the Assassin's Creed movie the last time I was here?
Oh, shit, no. Did we? I don't think we
did. That trailer...
We touched on it, yeah.
That trailer looks great.
Yeah, we touched it?
What?
The trailer looks great.
It does.
The extended trailer looks great. I'm so excited for that movie.
I don't know if I'm excited. I just like Michael Fassbender and pretty much everything he does.
Yeah, but that director.
Yeah.
Who also did like Macbeth?
I haven't seen that yet. It's in my Amazon Prime
freaking awesome
watch list.
Yeah, I have faith in the skill of those people and the cinematographer they seem to be using.
I just hope the plot doesn't lack. Like, I know everything else is going to be great.
Right.
I just hope the plot's not fucking stupid as shit.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be any more stupid than the games got to a certain degree.
I guess that's true.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap it up.
That's what she said.
Yep. That's what she said. Well, not. I don't know. I've been married for a while. I don't know. So, let's once again talk about our sponsor and where to get a free pair of Tweaked Audio headphones. TweakedAudio.com. Metal Geeks is the code you want to put in.
You're going to get 33% off of your order.
Yes.
And get a lifetime warranty and what else?
Free shipping.
Free shipping. There you go.
And if you want to win your own pair, like I said, go to Twitter and...
Our Twitter page.
At Metal Geeks and at Tweaked Audio. Tweet your favorite band as well, why you want to hear them in a pair of Tweaked Audio headphones. These have inline mic, too, so you can use these to speak on your mobile devices.
Word.
Exactly. Words will come out, and they will go into your headphones.
Hopefully more than just words. Hopefully, like, music will come with the words.
Well, words will come out of your mouth into the headphones, into other people's ears.
Gotcha.
That's how it works.
It has an inline mic. Now it makes sense.
It has an inline mic, exactly.
Yeah.
For your in-headphones.
Studio phone head.
No, in-headphones. So let's let people know where they can get a hold of us. There's a company cool I really wanted to... We'll get to real quick, where you might be able to get some merchandise from the Metal Geeks really, really soon. Like, now? Want to jump into that?
Sure.
Thanks to Aaron over at Deep in the Horror of Texas podcast, who does really cool designs. We now have our first official Metal Geeks t-shirts available at Redbubble.com.
Redbubble.
Which, so Redbubble is different. It's not, we don't print up a bunch of shirts and then have them sitting around. Redbubble, you pay for your shirt and they print it for you and they mail it off to you. So redbubble.com/people/metalgeeks is where you want to go. We have a really cool design and we also have the Metal Geeks logo shirt that you can just get. We're going to have some new ones too. I've reached out to Mark Nasso, who did our metal nerd over here. And he's given permission to make that into a shirt, as well as I talked to James Linares about our Hellboy one. Such a really cool design, but he doesn't feel comfortable with that. That he said, I can do better than that. So he's going to create a whole new design for us.
Oh, wow. Well, he's super cool. So.
He's a super cool guy. So if any guys out there, you want to create your own Metal Geeks t-shirt, we will throw it on the Redbubble store, and it's a lot of fun.
Woo!
We don't get much out of it.
I'm a t-shirt addict.
I just want people to be walking around with our shirts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that too.
About time.
Word.
On shirts.
Words.
Words on shirts.
Yeah, not a word, but right. Words.
Exactly right.
I like how Dave's just checked out over there.
He's like, fuck this. And with that being said... We had a long pause there for no
awkward. Long, awkward fucking pause.
I blame Carrie.
But don't blame me. I didn't do it.
Because I always think he's going to say something.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to say really, something.
You have a face that looks like you're about to say something.
Yeah, pretty, just like that.
Just like that.
Okay, you know what I can say is where to find us on the interwebs.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, yeah, okay, go ahead and do that.
Metalgeeks.net is our home, and we are actually in...
Deep in the heart of Texas.
At a loss for words.
At a loss for words here.
We're on iTunes.
Hold on. I'm going to start.
Man, this part of the show has been derailed so hard right now.
It's that damn fucking strep throat. I'm telling you.
Yeah, blame it on the strep.
You still have it.
I did. I hope not.
Because we all got it now, if that's the case.
I'm non-contagious, so I'm hopefully.
That's what she said.
Don't drink after me. So let's look back to metalgeeks.net. That's our new home. We're actually looking to revamp it very, very soon. So I have that in the works. Luckily, my mind is just blown.
Your mind's blown?
I'm going to have to start this whole shit over.
The whole show?
The whole show is starting over.
God damn. Hope you guys are buckled in. We're about to re-record.
Five.
Dave's
four.
Like, no, fuck this.
There's no editing capabilities whatsoever. Nope. It's done. It's all one on, shot okay, or fucking ready? Nothing.
Five. Orson Welles. Four. This shit. Three. Two.
You okay?
Yeah.
You good? I don't want to derail you any more than you've been.
All right, damn it. All right.
I hope you're keeping all of this in, because this is fucking like gold
right here. No, I'm not keeping any of this in. What are you talking about? Should we keep this in? Yeah, we should.
I don't know. It's up to you. I doubt people are still listening at this point.
Yeah, they turned it off. They're impatient. They don't care where to find this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they know where to find this.
Yeah. They're already probably subscribed.
All right, so find us at metalgeeks.net. Oh, my God. See the kind of shit that we deal with?
Facebook, Metal Geeks, Instagram, Twitter.
Twitters.
All the same. If you want the headphones, go to our Twitter, Tweaked Audio, Metal Geeks, favorite band. Let us know. Sean, where can they find you?
At the Metal Pigeon on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Dave?
Red Viking Dave on all the things.
All the things.
And
well,
you
some can, of the things.
And you
anyway.
Can find me. I am working on a comic book, Speak No Evil. Grey Bear Comics is GRAY.com. Grey Bear Comics at Facebook, Instagram, and
issue
Twitter.
Issue one
well.
Should be coming out soon.
Yeah, it's coming out in the end of the month.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's Damn. Exciting.
I'm going to get my digital copy of it.
Yeah, of course you will.
You can also find us on our really cool affiliate, Pod Bros, the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Altness, Nerdbong, ESOPodcast.com.
And iTunes.
Go to iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, enjoy.
And if you're still listening to this, please know that we love you.
We do love you.
Thank you so much for putting up with us.
I think that's it.
Let's put a bow on it and just say, fuck it at this point.
Fuck it.
Fuck it, we're doing it, not doing it live anymore.
We're not doing it live anymore.
So I guess the last thing to say is...
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
Keep it metal and geeky.
Motherfucker.
Last one out.
What?
You gotta say keep it metal and keep it geeky.
Okay.
The enthusiasm out of in your face just says it all.
No, you can go anytime though.
Whenever you're ready.
We'll wait for you.
Keep it metal and geeky.
There's a keep in it after. Never mind. Don't worry about it. It's just...
You know what? We will see you guys on the next episode.
Maybe.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.